Hi, this is Dr. John Gray, author of Men from Mars, Women from Venus, and you're listening to the Kick-Ass Life Show with David Wood.
Kick-Ass.
Whoa, that's kick-ass. Make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey, it's David here, and welcome to the show. How excited am I? I'm sitting here back in my own house and climbed into my own bed last night. And, I'm not a guy that has to buy a lot of things. And obviously, I do very well, and I'm very, very grateful for that. But climbing into a bed is an experience if you really understand how important beds are, right? But I always say, buy great shoes, buy a great mattress, and if you can add to the mattress a beautiful bed. My bed was made in India, and it's a simple looking bed, but it's a statement. It's something I always say. I like to buy things that you think when you pass away that your kids will say, "Hey, I want that bed," and they want something that for 100 years from now people could still be using it because it's so well made. And again, very plain, but it's a very, very beautiful bed, beautiful mattress. And then again, with success you get choices, and I get to choose the view. We have a stunning view. So climbing into the bed last night. Oh, one other thing about sleeping. This is a kick-ass experience. Buy great sheets. Just try it. Bamboo or Egyptian cotton. And so now you've got the combination. You've got great pillows, not too hard. I like a really, really soft pillow. But if you've got those things, think about it. You've got the perfect pillow. You got the most amazing sheets that feel like they cuddle you as you get in. You have a view that is just every morning you wake up, it fills you with gratitude. And you have a mattress that when you sleep on it, it's almost like it's the most incredible experience. And you're laying with someone you love. Come on. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. That's got to be kick-ass, right? But my guest today, he's pretty kick-ass. But he's from Australia. And thinking about that, we just spent 10 days down in Belize. And I'm telling you, I late last night after a whole day of flying, as you can hear my voice, it's a little wrapped up. But I want to dedicate the show to my friend in Sydney, Steph. This is for you, my dear. I know we're going to speak later. And I just want you to know I love you. And you're awesome. And it was just so great to have you be a part of the event. And I want to throw this out to all of the people that have traveled in from Australia, people who traveled from Canada. Just thank you, everyone. What an incredible week we had. And so listen, if you're out there, next time you hear that we're doing an event, just make it a priority. Don't let anything stand in your way. Don't let things stand in your way like, oh, I don't have the time. I don't have the money. Ask a new question. How do I find the time? How do I find the money? And it's events like this that will allow you to attract more. It's funny, I was just reading a text from Sanj, and he was on the show twice, actually. That was one of his dreams a week ago. Remember, he's a kick-ass life practitioner who we just bumped into through the show. His dream was to be on the show, and he's on the show twice in 2 weeks. I mean, how cool is that, right? But he was just saying about how since he's been home, he's just attracting people to his business and into his life. And he's just in awe of the fact that that can happen, be that easy. But it is that easy. Everything you want is waiting right there. Nothing's hard. We make it hard. We're the ones that are hard. We're hard on ourselves, so we're hard on the world. We're judgmental to ourselves, so we judge other people, We're angry with ourselves, so we're angry at other people. So life becomes hard, And so I just want you to know, it is easy. It's easy, but you gotta put the work in. You gotta open your heart up. You gotta have the courage to tell the truth. You gotta, you gotta be present and fascinated by people. You gotta be able to sit in the unknown without fear. You gotta be able to just trust the universe, trust you, trust people, trust everything that, even if it's the wrong thing. I mean, because there's a wonderful saying, I have a sign up in my house that says, everything happens for a reason. And it does. And it's, even the shitty things, when they happen, we can't think of the reason right then, but a year later or 2 years later or 6 months later, we look back and like, oh gosh, I wouldn't change that. I wouldn't have it be any other way. And the truth is, every one of our guests that have come through great adversity all say they wouldn't change it. Nor would I. So, you know, our guest is really appropriate. A, he's from Australia. He came up to me at an event and I loved his certainty in his eyes. I love the fact. So I said, hey, I want you on the show. And he's like, boom, we're in there. And so you really enjoy this one. But I thought, you know, I'm back in the studio. I get to have a little bit more fun with some music, don't I? And so little Aussie band. Let's have a listen to this one, shall we? Get told by the teacher not to daydream. Told by my mother. Bigot, 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 bigot. Gonna play football with you, John?
Are ya?
No.
Must be going to play
cricket this year. Yeah. Hey, listen, I want to say thank you to Casey as well. You guys are gone, our new producer. You guys haven't got to know him yet. But I'm telling you, we got so many great things coming, and I have never been more excited about what we're doing. You will see a whole new brand being rolled out at some point, and, you know, I see a huge, huge opportunity for everyone who listens to this show to truly get on board with us and link arms with us and do something really meaningful on this planet. So again, if you're tired of the status quo, if you want to squeeze the juice out of your own life, and if you want to help other people squeeze the juice out of theirs, you know, just know there's lots of room for everyone to play at this. Lots of room for everyone to get involved. But again, thank you, Casey. Thanks for all the work you're doing behind the scenes right now, especially with me being away so much. So with that being said, my guest is addicted to success. That's his website, addictedtosuccess.com, and just a really cool guy. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the wonderful Joel Brown. So as I always say, you know, how do I describe how I feel before I get to speak to a really extraordinary person? Well, I feel excited. I mean, it's sort of a deep excitement because we were just spending some time together. So this young man is doing some extraordinary things. And really, when we look at results, the results are always about the truth. You can't fake results. The results are either there or not. And this guy's having extraordinary results and doing some extraordinary things with a great intention, which is what I love. So, Joel, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing there, Dave?
I'm doing great. Now, we've got you, not really out of bed because you haven't been to bed, but what is it, 1:30 in the morning there?
Yeah, it's about 10 past one in the morning on Saturday. So we're about a day ahead of you guys out there in Canada. So
speaking to us from the future, Joel Brown.
From the future, of course.
Well, you're sounding very perky for somebody that is up at 1:30 in the morning. So thanks for that.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate that.
Well, Joel, you know, just to give context, I don't normally talk about age, but I want to talk a little bit about age right now. Can you share a little bit about your age?
I'm 26 years old, going on 27 next year.
Sure. So young man in his 20s, and you've developed something that has, it's staggering results, staggering numbers. Can you talk a little bit about what you've developed, and then we'll dig into it and find out all about it and find out the story around it. Okay.
For sure. So, basically I run a self-development and motivational website for individuals that are looking for inspiration. So basically what I do is, and what my passion is to actually look for opportunities on achieving success and then exposing it to people. You know, because the number one thing that I've found is there's a lot of people that want success, so there's a lot of people that, you know, aspire for greater things, but they don't know what's really out there and how they can reach it. So I feel that my kind of calling and my purpose is to expose these opportunities to people and to also inspire them to make that next step.
And just talk about some numbers so that people listening in, I mean, this will wake them up, you know?
Well, actually I've been running addictedtosuccess.com, which is my website. I've been running that for around about 2.5 years now, and we're at around about 3.5 million views and growing. Actually had a little bit of trouble recently because we had too much traffic coming through at once. So we've actually had to upgrade our servers. So a little bit of growing pains, but yeah, nothing to complain about. It's a good sign. It means that we're growing and that we're reaching as many individuals as we can, which I can only be happy about.
Well, you know, having met you, and you know, you were just at one of my programs, and that's kind of how we met. You come up and talk to me at the break, and you know, there was an immediate connection, and I think it's that deep sort of certainty that you have about contribution. Did you just wake up one day 2.5 years ago and say, like, I want to sort of contribute? Or what led to the start of Addicted to Success?
I mean, to be honest, it really kind of started out as what happened was, I used to work for a sales company in the city in Perth in Western Australia, and I was in a sales team, and our boss was pushing us for more results in the sales field. And what he did was, he actually invited us to a workshop with a guy by the name of Jordan Belfort. Now, Jordan Belfort, back in the day, I think he was around about 25 years old at the time. He was making hundreds of millions of dollars. He wasn't doing it the ethical way, but he was teaching people on Wall Street on how to, you know, make a quick dollar, and how to get results. And what happened was, long story short, he got pulled up for it. He went to jail, turned his life around, and he goes around the world coaching people on how to get sales results, but doing it in an ethical way. And I got to talking with him when he came through, and what he told me was that, you know, anything that you really want in life, you've got to have a vision. I mean, setting goals is all good, but you've got to see the bigger picture, you know, because you hit a goal and that's it. Okay, what do you do next? But the vision is the big thing that you want. And then you have to really be very detailed with how you're going to get there. So what he did was, in this workshop, he actually got each one of us in the room to actually write our vision out, and also step by step, like every month up until, you know, 3 years, 5 years, or however far away we saw it, you know, what we're going to do in each step to get there. And, you know, I wrote mine out, and I was kind of caught off guard a little bit, because he asked me to read it out in front of everybody else. And I've always kind of had it in me to want to inspire people. You know, I was listening to a lot of, you know, your Tony Robbins, you know, Jack Canfield, Wayne Dyer, Les Brown, you know, a lot of these inspirational, you know, leaders and motivational speakers. So, you know, I said to him, I said, you know, like, you know, I want to be able to stand on the stage and inspire others around the world, just like you, among other things as well. And he smiled, and he said to me straight after that, he said, the only thing that's standing between you and your goal is the bull crap story that you keep telling yourself as to why you can't achieve it. Whether he's talking to me directly, I'm not too sure. He kind of said it out to everyone as well, but it really hit me. And there was really no excuse, you know, that when I really thought about it. And the best way to reach these people and to start networking with, you know, authority figures and to start, you know, really finding out what people want, is by going out there and sharing this content and sharing this material and doing my research and going to these events and reading these books. So, yeah, that's where it really, really started. And it's just grown and grown and grown since then. And I've been able to network with a lot of, you know, highly achieved individuals, you know, successful entrepreneurs and people that have done it. And, you know, they're just like you and me. They've learned through their failures. They're talented at what they do, and they're passionate and persistent in their field. So
that's awesome.
You know, I really want to get that message across to everybody else as well. You know, that's really what it is, passion and persistence.
But you talk about this bullcrap story, right? And this idea that you realized in that moment that, you know, that it resonated so deeply with you that you sort of changed the story and started to write yourself into a greater story. And 2.5 years later, 3.5 million views. I mean, because really, that's a lot. and you know that you're just touching the surface, because obviously your message is resonating so deeply. What do you think it is about your message that is reaching so deeply into people that you've created such a following so quickly?
I think it's a thing that, you know, ordinary life is boring. That's really my thing, you know, and same with you. You know, you got your Kick-Ass Life podcast, you know, and even that name in itself is like, you know, why settle? Why settle for less? Like, why not have a kick-ass life? You know, why not step outside the box and make something more or better of yourself, you know, like why not challenge yourself? And that's really what I'm trying to do, is really show people that, you know, you may be just one or two steps away from doing what you really want to do. Come on, like shake it up a little bit. You know, and you can set your own standards. You don't have to go by the whole protocol, and you don't have to work the 9-to-5 job. You know, some people enjoy it. Some people love their job, which is great. But, you know, if you want to be just over broke, then stick to it in that sense. But yeah. I mean, I'm really just trying to expose people to other opportunities and to really start thinking outside the box and start raising the bar a little bit more for themselves, because, you know, we all really deserve it at the end of the day if we're passionate enough for it.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you lead this event and with Jordan, and you sort of you've awoken, because I mean we see this all the time, and you know, I mean obviously you're at one of my events, and you know you got to see the work I do up close and personal. You know, and I think what do we have about 360 people, I think, were at that event. But
yeah.
You know, but there's something different about someone like yourself who goes to an event and is awoken to something, a possibility, a new sort of vision, which I love this idea of you writing out this vision over, you know, the 3-5 year kind of vision, sort of really understanding what your life's going to look and feel like. But then you still have to go into action. You still have to leave, get back into your environment and start. Talk about that. Where did you start? How did you breathe life into it once the energy of Jordan had left and the excitement of a program had gone? Now reality sets in, and that's where a lot of people choose to sort of slip back, or, you know, just take it as an experience and don't sort of go out and really step into something great. So what was different for you?
I feel that it was really my time, man. Like, to be honest, like I found what I really was passionate about, and it sounds a little bit corny, but you know, you hear people always say, oh, you've got to find your passion. You've got to love what you do. And it's easy to say that, but you know, when you do find it, you actually really feel it deep down in your heart that this is something that you really want to pursue. And when you do, you don't see any obstacles on the way up. You don't see the challenge. You see the, you know, some things as a challenge, but you don't let them affect you. You move in, you move around them, you move over them or under them to get where you really want to be. And I think, you know, constantly reading books and constantly, you know, watching videos of motivational things, like I can't watch one video and then never watch one for, you know, say like for the rest of the year, because that doesn't work. You need to constantly be reminded, you know, because we easily slip back into, you know, the pattern of, you know, settling and being too comfortable as well. So you need to constantly be trying to push yourself outside of your comfort zone. Mm. Otherwise, you're not going to see any change. Like the comfort zone, cool, yeah, it's comfortable, but nothing great happens there. All the magic happens outside of that comfort zone.
Hmm. You sound like a friend of mine. So the mechanics, though, I want to sort of highlight so people really get what you just said there. This constant sort of good stuff going in constantly without being addicted. I mean, your company's called Addicted to Success, which I love, but there are people who become junkies of sort of personal growth, but don't take the action. And what you're talking about is something different. It's about continually filling the well and continually sort of taking a drink and realizing how important that drink is, but then stepping out of that comfort zone into the uncomfortable zone and the unknown zone, which are the two sexy zones, right? And bringing to life this vision that you had, right? So, but some people will get the sort of the Kool-Aid and they'll keep drinking it and drinking it and drinking it, but won't get off the couch. And we see that a lot too, right? So what were some of the things you did when you left there, as far as mechanical, I mean, as far as starting the business, you had this vision. Did you have a vision of starting a website and then calling it this, or what was the initial steps you took, and was it immediately successful?
It definitely wasn't immediately successful. The way it started out was I set up the website, right? And then I would go around and I would find other articles on other websites, because what I was finding is there was no one website I could go to with all the information that I loved. It would kind of be scattered here and there. I couldn't really find a very solid website at the time, you know, 2.5 years ago. So I would find, you know, a motivational video here, like a snippet from, you know, a book there and on another website. And I kind of bring it all together onto my site, and we'll create posts out of it. And I initially didn't have any kind of Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn share bars on my site. And I actually noticed a couple of my friends knew that I ran my website, and they would go and have a look at it, and they'd copy the actual link of the address of that certain article, and then would share it on their Facebook or their Twitter. And then I would notice it on their Facebook or Twitter, and I'm seeing people commenting on it saying, wow, this is amazing, or they're resharing it, or they're liking it and reposting it. And it kind of clicked, and I was like, wow, I should really be putting this out for everybody, and not really waiting for it to get really big to share it. It should be shared right now. So that's when I really started to realize that, oh, wow, you know, people love inspirational content. It's not just me. I'm not in it alone. There's a lot of people out there in this world that love the same things that I do too. So that's really where it, like, all the lights kind of came on. And then, that kind of drove me as well. I saw that and I thought, you know, I have a sense of responsibility now because a lot of people are starting to share my content. I've got to keep this up, not only just for them, but for myself as well. So yeah, that's really how it kind of carried on. And it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. Then I started getting a lot of, authors that contact me saying they want to be a part of what's going on because they believe in it, and they want to share it with my community. And the community has just grown and grown and grown. And there's not a lot of people out there that don't like inspirational content. They're going to share it, which I think is something that's kind of a formula that works, I guess.
Absolutely. Obviously, it's working. The results are amazing. And again, I feel that you're just skimming the surface of something. I imagine 2.5 years looking back, and the millions and millions and millions of people that will be touched by your work. So again, I want to congratulate you. Let's go back a little bit before this, because a lot of people, I don't know your story as far as life. Do you want to give us a little delve into your life leading up to this? You know, how did you get so clear? When did you start investing heavily in you? Has it been a lifelong thing, or was it sort of you turned a corner one day and realized that you wanted this in your life more? Or
Yeah, man. I think really it's been moving stages. It's kind of like a video game, you know. I've been platforming from one thing to another. So what happened was, when I was 15 years old, I was really into the music industry and the music scene. And what I would do was I used to go down to our local radio station in Australia, here in Western Australia, and I would constantly, I'd be hanging around all the, you know, the DJs and the producers and trying to get in to be a part of what was going on. I would constantly get knocked back and get told, just don't be in the way and things like that. But I was persistent because I really wanted to be a part of it. So what I used to do was I would start reaching out to record labels in America and start asking for exclusive content to play in Australia. And you know, you don't know unless you ask. You get a yes or a no. It's a 50-50, right? Most of the time they were open to actually sending new exclusive content over to me. And then I would actually take it to the radio station and I'd start showing these DJs, you know, I've got this track and that track. And they're like, wow, this guy's really resourceful. Maybe, you know, he could be pretty useful. So they started inviting me on the shows. And then it got to the point where I was around so much, bringing in so much exclusive content that they ended up giving me my own radio show. And what I would do was I would actually contact these record labels and ask them, hey, do you want, you know, exposure on Australian radio? And the Americans love that. They're like, wow, yeah, you know, I want to be on, you know, radio down under and blah, blah, blah. They love that. So then what I would do was from there, I started contacting producers and I would start hustling their music and their beats. And I used to contact record labels that I was already, you know, in tune with and managers that I was already, you know, talking with and emailing back and forth and calling. And I would start shopping the beats to them. And it got me to a point where one of my best friends, actually two of my best friends that were producers, I got them signed to a record label out in Miami. And we ended up going under Atlantic Records for a while, and we worked out there for a couple of years. So I was managing producers and songwriters back and forth in America. So I got to meet a lot of, you know, talented people. We worked in the studio with a lot of big name artists. I had a lot of exposure at that time at a very young age, 18, 19, 20, working with highly successful and talented people. And I've always been really intrigued into how people got to where they got and, like, you know, why they didn't let certain things stop them in achieving success. I put the music industry behind me because I felt after a while it wasn't something that I was passionate about. And, you know, some people thought that I was a little crazy to do that because they saw the glitz and the glamour and all these things, you know, meeting famous people. But, you know, when your heart's not 100% in it, it fizzles out after a while. It doesn't last for so long. And I had to be real with that. I had to be real with myself, you know, because I think part of what, you know, aiming or aspiring for success, you actually need to be self-aware. Self-awareness is key. You need to really, look at yourself and feel like, what am I actually, you know, where do I want to go with this? And what am I actually feeling about this? And if something doesn't feel right, you need to really reevaluate things and reassess, you know, is this what I want to do for the rest of my life? Because I've always thought like that. Like, if right now, am I going to be doing this for the rest of my life? If it's a maybe or a no, then I'm out. You know, I'm heading for what I really, really love to do.
Your confidence with that. I mean, again, I remember when you walked up to me. I mean, so this confidence, and it's an easy confidence. It's a gentle confidence, you know. So when you approach people, it's just kind of like very, very unassuming and but very, very clear on what you want. I mean, which I think is incredible. But going back before 15, then, was this something you sort of picked up from your parents? These wisdoms. I mean, that's a pretty wise 15-year-old. Who sort of, you know, creates their own path, you know, really wants something, is able to get through that closed door, even though you keep getting pushed back. So you find a new way to sort of get exactly what you want and sort of redefine what's really happening. And that's what you've done with Addicted to Success. It's another, so that's that personality trait you have, which is this combination, like you talk about, of wisdom, of self-awareness, of the passion, but really that sort of fortitude. Because, you know, obviously there's been a lot of no's in there and a lot of doors shut. And I always get this picture of you standing outside of a closed door thinking, well, how the heck am I going to get in there? Or how do I build my own door almost? That's what it sounds like, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you've got to really prove yourself in this world. I think that's the thing. You know, like nothing's really given out for free. And I've always been told, you know, you're never going to know unless you ask. And I think that, you know, when you really, really want something, you're not going to see those challenges. You know, you are, if you really like something, you just got to do it. Mm. You know, there's no one really holding you back. You're your own worst enemy at the end of the day.
Mm. And yes, so here you are at 20, almost 27. Imagine we're sitting down doing that same vision program that you did with Jordan. Looking yep. forward 5 years, cast me a little bit of a vision of what you see happening with your company and with your, with your work right now. What do you see going with it?
Yeah, so really, I had to think about this actually not too long ago, and really, what I want to achieve in the next 5 years and what my vision really holds for me in the future is. Addicted to Success is a platform for me now to be able to reach a wider audience through numerous mediums, you know, through video, through podcasts like how you're doing as well, which I think is great as well. And also books, you know, if I wanted to author books, membership programs, it's a way that I can promote for events in the future to be able to bring a lot of leaders from different industries together so that we can hold events like Addicted to Success events and conferences, which I think would be amazing. And that's really that's been a big plan for a while now. And the money that we make from Addicted to Success, some of it goes to donations and some also is going to these future events that we want to hold because we want to be able to inspire people in the masses. And what I really want to achieve as well in the next 5 years is I want to be able to set up offices in different countries and have international versions of my website where it's translated so that other nationalities can understand it as well, because it's not just English speaking people that want to be inspired. You know, there's Spanish speaking people and African speaking people as well out there in the world, other languages as well that want the same kind of thing. They want a successful life. And it's funny because you know, I get some people that say to me, oh, addicted to success. That's bad. You shouldn't be addicted to being successful. They see maybe money or greed or something like that attached to it. But what I tell them is that everybody's definition of success is different. It's subjective to like whatever, you know, you believe that it should be. And to me, and actually I took this from Tony Robbins, who I grew up listening to a lot as well, is he said something that really stood out to me. He said that, you know, he believes that being successful is like when you live your life with as much pleasure with the smallest amount of pain as possible. Mm. And I think that is, for me, that's true. I mean, everyone's different, but that's really what I want to achieve. And that's success to me. And whether it's, you know, giving back, you know, whether it's having less stress and not having to wake up and go to work, whether it's having a good relationship with my fiance, you know, it's all areas of your life. You know, you don't want that pain. There's going to be a little bit pain, you know, sometimes helps you grow. But yeah, it's living with as much pleasure as you can and really enjoying life and also inspiring other people to do the same.
Yeah. Well, I actually like it. You know, I get what people would say with the word addicted, but, you know, it depends on the angle. But I love the idea that, that, you know, addicted to success, because the word success, again, for some people, the connotation is money. But as you just clearly stated, and I think, you know, in meeting you, there's that sense of completeness or wholeness and comfort, which, again, you know, only people who have sort of found that pathway and really feel comfortable in their skin and sort of live an authentic and driven life. Because there's that two parts of it, right? If you were just comfortable laying in a hammock right now, you are not going to be happy. That is not going to fulfill you. Although there's moments where you're going to lay in your hammock and feel fulfilled because of the work, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, you've got to have a balance, and that's the thing. Like with me as well, you know, being addicted to success, you know, always constantly wanting to achieve, you know, better results with my website and also branch out and invest in other businesses. And I have a lot of things going on and a lot on my plate. It's good to have my fiance by my side, because she pulls me back sometimes and says, you know, baby, come on, you know, we've got to put a little bit of time aside for ourselves and things like that. I mean, you have a fiance too, right?
Yep.
So you know how it is. You know, you've got to have a balance as well, and you've got to have time for family and friends and alone time as well, which is very important. You've got to have your alone time.
Sure.
I don't know about you. I do a little bit of meditation, you know, morning and night as well. And, yeah, I mean, things like that I find effective. You got to get back in touch with yourself.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you got to fill your own cup, right? But what do you do for fun, Joel?
What do I do for fun? I like to play basketball. So I'm pretty big on the basketball. I don't watch it too much, but I like to play basketball, and I like to travel quite a lot. Actually, my fiance and I, it's funny, we just came back from Tokyo, Japan, and before that, we went to Europe, like all through Europe. Then we went to India, America, Japan, back to Australia. Then we're moving back out to America. So we've got the travel bug at the moment. We can't help but to travel as much as often as we can.
Well, no, I'll make the bed for you at the house. I just showed you the view outside. So no, your guest room's made. How's that?
Oh, beautiful. I've always wanted to go to Canada.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny, actually. I'll tell you a quick story. I actually, I tried snowboarding for the first time when we went to Switzerland, and we went up to the Matterhorn. I can't remember the slope there, but it was near the Matterhorn. And I had never snowboarded before, and everyone was telling me, you know, oh, it's just like skateboarding. And I used to be pretty good at skateboarding. So I said, oh, okay, no problems. I didn't get any kind of lessons or anything like that. And I hit one of the slopes, and it's nothing like skateboarding. It's nothing like skateboarding. You know, if you're not leaning back, you know, if you're not leaning forward, then I don't know. I really can't get my head around it yet, because I failed pretty bad at it, and I actually stacked it halfway down the slope, and then I decided to walk all the way back up because I didn't know how far down I had to go. And one of the guys told me that he's laughing, and he said, you know, you went down the advanced slope with no helmet and this and that, you know. And he said, that's an advanced slope. You should go to the beginners. And I didn't realize, because the sign was in German. So my one big thing that I really want to achieve in my life is to actually learn how to snowboard properly. And I was told that Canada was the best place to do that. So,
well, as a snowboarder, I'll give you a couple of tips. But yeah, it is. It's always first of all learn on a powder day. And I mean, unless you're a really young kid, what I always advise, because I have a ski lodge, and right outside the window is the bunny hill. So I watch a lot of beginners learn. And so, you know, when you watch a lot of beginners learn, and also when I went through it, is take lessons for 2 days and then go off on your own. And the learning curve, because I was a skier for many years, but the learning curve is so steep. Once you can combine those two turns, you know, suddenly you're like, boom and gone, you know. And then if you do it in powder, I mean, I don't even know what feels better than snowboarding in deep powder. And I was a terrible skier in powder. It was like sweating, huffing and puffing, you know. But I got on a snowboard, it's like, woo-hoo! It's just like the most the most amazing feeling. So anyway, Joe, you know, I want to ask you a little bit about, you talk about events. And, you know, again, you spent 2.5 days in an event with myself, you know. And you know, because of this experiential style of training that I do, and I think, you know, my goal is, you know, I want to personally train 10,000 trainers who bring this type of work to life. But what did you witness and again, this isn't a stroke on my work, it's really more the understanding of why invest in actually a fully immersed event as opposed to maybe just reading a book or listening to something, you know, while you're jogging. Why a full immersion is so important. What did you witness in an event like that?
I think you get the most out of actually watching everybody get involved in it. You kind of feel like you're not on your own and you're not trying to work all the answers out yourself. You see there's other people there that are learning it and that they've taken the time out just like you have, and that you can see that it is just as important for them to want to do it as much as you as well. So I would recommend it to anybody to go to these events where it's a full immersion, and you can't just learn something in this small space of an hour or just over like one day. It needs to be quite a few days so that you have the time and enough information to be able to connect the dots in the way that you should to be able to get the answers that you're looking for as well. You might not always get all the answers that you want because it's all good, you know, cognitively, like understanding, you know, what you should be doing. But if you're not putting that into action, then it doesn't mean anything.
Sure.
It's just in your head. It's not put out there. So, there's two parts to it really, is understanding it and then going and acting on what you've learned as well.
And it's, so I mean, that's really important. And there's a real sort of what I witnessed and what happened in Perth, you know, what you see people, it's like an accelerator, right? It's like, you know, if you have a dream or goal or vision and you can find a program or a trainer that you can resonate with, it's almost like, you know, 2.5 days. I love 5-day programs. I mean, in fact, I'm doing a 7-day program in Belize in 2 weeks. But that full immersion for me is where it's almost like you're sort of part of a rocket ship where you can really, really move forward quite quickly. And then again, when you leave, it's again, like exactly like you said, is putting these things into action. I mean, action to you is obviously something that you get up each day. Why do you think a lot of people don't go into action? They know what to do, they just don't do it. Why do you think people get stuck like that?
I think it's really the self-belief. I don't think they believe enough in themselves. And I think they haven't found their strong enough why, like the reason why they want to do that. I think you really need to know why you want to go out there and donate to orphanages or why you want to start up your new tech business or, you know, why you want to be an entrepreneur in this new job. Like, you really need to know why you want to do something. And then you have to plan on how you're going to get there, and you've got to really stick to it and be persistent. Yeah. So you got to be passionate. You got to be passionate. I think some people like to toy with the idea of something and thinking, oh, that'd be cool if I could do that. But that's just not enough. You know, you need to love what you want to do, like as if you've already got it. And you've got to imagine it as if you've actually already there, and you've got to go for it.
Do you have self-doubts at all about what's going to happen? I mean, is it something where you've cleaned up your mind so much that you don't hear that negative voice? Or is that negative voice still in there? How do you cope with it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's still, it's there from time to time, but I just ignore it. Because the reason being is because I've seen results. I've seen when I've pushed past, you know, the negative thoughts that I've actually been able to make something of myself. So I've learned from my results. As much as you learn from your failures, you can learn from your results as well. So, you know, you turn around and you see like, okay, maybe I didn't do so good there, but because I failed 3, 4, 5, 6 times, I then got past that point that nobody else around me did because they didn't have the guts to get through it. So I'm here now. And then the next thing doesn't seem that bad because you've already seen, you know, you've already faced adversities and things like that. And you've seen you've got results out of it. So why don't you just go on and face a few more adversities?
Sure. Well, I mean, there's a little secret in what you just said, and I want to make sure people picked up on that, right? And remember, this is broadcast in 179 countries, so we have people of all ethnicities listening. But, you know, the idea of ignoring the negative voice, which we know that is, you know, some people call it the rowdy roommate, you know, the sort of the I call it the imposter, you know, that sort of negative voice, anything negative in your head that you know, that is pulling you away from what you want or self-doubt, you know, but your way of dealing with it, which is very powerful. It's the second part, not the first part. The ignoring is one part, but to just ignore it and sit on the couch isn't enough. So what you do is you ignore it and you take action and you get results. And some of those results are not always, you know, exactly what you want, but you notice what's going on in the result. If it's not what you want, you'll do something else to get the result you're looking for. So really, I think part of your key then to success is the action you take and the awareness. That's what comes out as I listen to you a lot, is this deep sense of awareness that you have on what's working, what's not working, trying this. I like that. That's working, let's keep moving forward. Do you think awareness has played a big key into your success?
I think so, for sure. And it can only be, you know, you can only really be more self-aware if you keep trying new things. You know, if you're not moving out of that comfort zone, then you're not really sure of what you are capable of. And I believe really honestly that, you know, we only get what we believe that we deserve. So if you're not raising your standards, then you're not going to receive a better outcome.
You're a very wise man, young man. You're very wise. You know that. Do you have any favorite quotes? One that sort of like, you know, that sort of is in your head a lot, or something you think about that, you know, you've heard of when you were a young man that maybe really helped you move forward?
Something that really stood out to me. It's not from a particular somebody. It was actually on a Nike ad, and it said, "Yesterday you said tomorrow." So, you know, when I was younger, I was a little bit of a procrastinator. And when I heard that, you know, that yesterday you said tomorrow, it kind of really stood out. And I went to my school library and I printed that out. And I remember I would hang it up on my wall and I would see it constantly. And then when I got a cell phone or a mobile phone, what I would do was I would make that my wallpaper on my phone as a reminder. And it just pushed me to kind of like look at it and go, you know, what have I done today? You know, why have I put this off today? You know, and like, you know, did I miss something out? And like, how can I keep moving forward to success? Because you're either moving towards or away from success at any given time. Mm-hmm. That's what I believe. You're either going to, you know, be stagnant or, you know, falling behind, or you're going to be moving towards it. You know, slow progress is better than no progress. That's what they say.
Yeah, great. I like that very much. I haven't heard it either. So it's something that I know a lot of quotes, but that's a very powerful one. Back to action, right? I mean, this is kind of like when we're looking at your sort of dissecting, you know, your sort of success path, you know, the word action keeps coming up, and sort of the action to push you outside that comfort zone and in that sort of self-awareness, which is awesome. Now, the show's called The Kick-Ass Life. And you and I have already talked about doing some stuff together, and I'm really excited about that. But what does a kick-ass life mean to you? If you have to define the word, the kick-ass life, what does that mean to you?
Oh, to me, it really means, you know, having a dream, you know, knowing that that dream only came to you because you're the only person that can make it come true. And then for you to go out there and actually breathe life into that dream and making it a reality, that's a kick-ass life to me. And to be able to share that with others as well. And to be able to share, you know, with others that they can achieve things like this too. you know, if they really just applied it, you know, to their daily activities, I think that that really is a kick-ass life to me. That's what I believe.
Mm. And you talked about your philanthropic work. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? I'm not sure what you're doing, but you say, you know, is it a broad scheme of things that you do, or is there something specific that you focus on?
No. I mean, at the moment, I donate every month to Vision Australia for the blind. And I'm pretty passionate about it because I actually met a guy who was blind from the age of, I think he was about 16. And an unfortunate event that had happened where it blinded him. And, you know, and he goes around and I think he was like, he won Toastmasters awards and things like that. He's an incredible speaker. And he explained, you know, what happened to him. And then he told us a little bit about the people in his lives. In his life as well, that he's come across that are blind from birth and things like that. And you know, I think we just take those kind of things for granted every day that, you know, we're able to see. Like I wouldn't be able to do my website, I don't think, to full effect if I was blind, you know, because I wouldn't be able to see those amazing visual images and be able to create picture quotes and to be able to, like, you know, read whatever I wanted to that popped up in front of me as soon as I can and then get it out there. So, I think it's really unfortunate for people that aren't able to. So, you know, that's something that I'm passionate about is donating to that particular cause. My fiance and I are teaming together to branch out to bigger, even bigger causes as well in the future. And, you know, maybe doing some retreats and things like that as well, where we give back and go to some villages and you know, when we were in India, we saw like quite a bit of poverty as well. So it was eye opening and yeah, we really want to step it up. And I think, at the end of the day, you know, the secret of living is giving. You know, it's about giving back as well. You know, because you can have all these things in your life, but if you're not growing and contributing and being somebody of you know, meaning and value with the meaning and value in life, then you're really missing something.
That's very, very wise words for a young man. Talk about your the events type of thing. You know, when we look at your sort of vision moving forward, as far as getting people together in a room, have you started doing that yet, or is it something you and if you're going to do it, what kind of numbers do you see? Do you see it more intimately, or a large scale, or stadiums? What kind of vision do you see there?
Yeah, my fiance and I are looking at putting together some retreats to start off with, like smaller retreats of, you know, groups of 20 people. And we're actually looking at holding it in Bali in Indonesia to start off with. And, the way we're looking at it is couples, that you know, aspire to be, you know, entrepreneurs or to kind of, you know, come up with their own business. They really just don't know what kind of steps to take next. I think, you know, like we've met quite a lot of couples that want the same kind of thing as well. And we tend to click, with them as well. So we want to start out there and then, you know, expand out and start doing, you know, events in America and Canada and UK. And then hopefully we can start taking it to other countries as well outside of that. We're just building the network up at the moment. Like I know a lot of, you know, successful authors and speakers. And you know, we can reach out to them once we've got enough in our budget to be able to reach, you know, what they're looking for to be able to appear. Yeah, so we'll be doing that. And you know, maybe one day there's an opportunity to even do, you know, like live video streaming and things like that as well, so that we can reach more than just the people in the room. So,
You know,
yeah, there's a lot of room to grow with, you know.
Yeah, sure. You know, I work very closely with a lot of these guys. You know, I belong to the same group, and I think it'll be a great group for you to join. And I'll introduce you to it, the Transformational Leadership Council, and it's where a lot of these top authors and writers awesome. And motivational speakers belong. In fact, you saw The Secret, right? The movie The Secret. Have you ever seen it?
I haven't. Yeah, I've read a little bit of the book. I haven't seen the whole movie. No.
Well, the movie was shot at this particular group, so the people that were in there. But my question to you, you know, as Les Brown is a good friend of mine. You mentioned Les, and you know, he always says that, you know, the two most important days, the day you're born and the day you discover why. Before we sort of wrap up the call, what I really sort of get this clear vision right now is that you've found your calling. And everything you've shared, there's this sort of this idea of giving and contribution, this idea of truly living a passion-filled and purposeful life. The moment you discovered that, you know, when you sort of woke up knowing, because this is a lifetime quest now. I don't see this changing, do you?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's only going to get bigger and better. That's the way I see it. And, you know, I still got a lot to learn. Every day you're always learning more and more. And, yeah, I just want to be able to reach as many people as I can and to be able to inspire them to better themselves and to step outside of their comfort zone. I love seeing people step outside their comfort zone and then seeing results and going, kicking themselves, going, damn, why did I not do this earlier? You know, like, why, you know, I could have been living an even better life if I just did this before. Like, that happens a lot. You know, a lot of people do that. So I just want to get in early and get to them before they get too old and you know, regret the fact that they didn't really challenge themselves when they could have.
Sure. And I see that with you as well, as your message. I'm actually looking at your site right now. But your message is something that that really can resonate with anyone from, you know, young teens all the way through to, you know, so 80, 90-year-olds, because it really is, it's never too late, right? There's never a moment you get to in life where you say, hey, listen, my time has passed. It's like the time is now, right? And that's the sort of the message that sort of resonates from everything you're doing, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, look at Colonel Sanders. I mean, he was pushing over 70 by the time he actually, you know, solidified himself in the area that he really wanted to be in. And he knocked on, you know, thousands and thousands of doors. I mean, age is nothing but a number. You know, I think everybody wants something more in their life as well. And, you know, you've just got to keep learning. I don't know everything. You don't know everything. But, you know, all we can do is keep learning and keep sharing with other people.
Awesome. Well, yeah, we're sort of at the end of our time here, Joel, and I know you and I are going to have a chat right afterwards. But do you, any last thoughts, anything you want to leave this audience with as far as your wisdoms or how they can come play with you?
Yeah, I mean, this is something really I put something out there as a question, and it's turned kind of into a quote, and a lot of people have shared it on multiple platforms. And the question really was, you know, if we doubted our fears instead of doubting our dreams, imagine how much in life we'd accomplish. So I'd really like everyone to really think on that and think about, you know, are you letting those fears, you know, disable you or stop you from really achieving what you are born to actually be in life, you know? So don't let that hold you back. Anyone that's ever achieved something great has pushed through the fear and felt a little bit uncomfortable from time to time, but they eventually got there.
Yeah. Awesome. Joel, I look forward to it. I know that we're just sort of starting out in our relationship, and I meant what I said. The guest room is made up. There's a cold beer in the fridge, and I look forward to meeting your fiance. So if you're in this part of the world, jump in. But we'll certainly be doing a lot more together. And anything I can do to help you with your training career, you know, is, again, and to sort of help develop you as a master trainer, which is really will go in alignment with what you're doing. Just let me know, and I'll help you in any way I can.
Thank you, Dave. I really appreciate it, man. All the way from Australia, right here, man. You've got love, nothing but love back here in Perth, Western Australia. I know everybody really embraced you, man, and you've changed a lot of people yourself. So I'm happy that you're a part of, you know, our lives and in my life as well now, man. It's great.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. I told you. I did. You know, there's a wonderful thought process. You know, the happiest of people don't necessarily have the best of everything. They just make the most of everything that comes along their way. And I really enjoyed his idea around, you know, why passion and persistence is so important, you know. And I mean, and stepping into that uncomfortable zone, the way he talked about that, you know. Anyway, don't forget, you know, we have the show notes. Go to thekickasslife.com and pick up the show notes, and I'll put in the links to the songs and everything we do there, the quotes I talk about. With that being said, you know what? We should probably have another song, because with that band I just played, one of my favorite songs from them is this one. Enjoy.
I'm ready.
baby. I love the Aussies. And the Kiwis. Never forget the Kiwis. God, I'm gyrating in my chair here. You wouldn't believe it. By the way, I'm in my house coat. I got a fess up. I got my slippers on. I'm wearing a house coat. I thought I'm just going to wander around. I've shaved and everything. I just couldn't be bothered to get dressed today. So, by the way, you Aussies, I will be back in Australia in May, and I'm going to be doing a very, very spectacular event on May 27th to June 1st, which is inspired leadership trainer training. So if you ever want to find your voice, if you want to overcome any fear of the stage, if you want to find your a way to bring your gifts to the world, learn how to become a master trainer, learn how to become a great presenter, whether you want to learn to work one-on-one, be more connected to people, or work in front of a group, or stand in front of tens of thousands of people, I'm going to give you everything you need. So if you're in the Aussie, anywhere in Australia, New Zealand, anywhere in that region, and you want to come over, it will be limited. It has been very well received already. So I imagine we'll have 500 people there. We're just sort of pinning down the venue right now. So if you are interested in that, let us know. Just let us know. You can contact me on Facebook and just say, hey, put us down, and we'll tell you all the details of it. But it's going to be a 4.5-day event. Probability right now is going to be in Brisbane. And so I'm looking forward to that. We just had a great time in Brisbane. I just did a 4.5-day leadership training there. But trainer training is what we just did in Belize, by the way. It's one of my big passions is to personally train 10,000 trainers, speakers, presenters to go out there and bring transformation to the world. So if that's you, you know what? Make it a priority, and we'll definitely see you there in May. And don't forget, please come and have a chat on Facebook, davidonfacebook.com, davidonfacebook.com. Joel, thanks, mate. I'm looking forward. You and I are going to be doing some stuff together. Just a great guy. I'm glad you've stepped through the door into my life. I feel very blessed for that. And again, I just want to remind everyone, this show is dedicated to my good friend in Australia, Steph. Steph, I'll see you soon. Take care. Oh, did I say I'll see you soon? Take care. Or did I say I'll see you on the other side?
That was kick-ass.